Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope everybody's having a great afternoon out there. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. We have a great show lined up for you. We're going to be with you for the next hour. We are looking forward to hanging out with you. You got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
You know, my Monday just got better with that intro music. That doesn't get you ready for Playmakers. What will?
Come on. We're just changing things up a little bit, keeping things fresh around here a little, and having some fun while we're at it. And I think that that song has quite the sports tie to it now. I think sports has kind of taken it over in some ways. A Midwest native in Jack White, who wrote the song and the famous guitar of it and everything, big time Detroit fan. So that works for us perfectly, Randy.
That's we'll play the whole song when we do our Detroit
absolutely,
segment.
Absolutely. That'll be our intro music for when we cover Detroit Lions, which we're way ahead of, by the way.
Yeah.
We got plenty to cover today. We're going to be having some fun. We'll get into the WIA boys bracket release, talk about a little bit of that with Randy. He's got some other local sports for us as well. We will get into a couple of other topics for you. And, of course, we're going to talk River Kings today because I reached out to Coach. He said he can make time to be able to join us today, so he's going to be here about 5:30. We're not only going to be talking about the weekend of hockey and the playoffs going forward, but how the playoffs work in the USPHL. Coach and I thought that that'd be a really good one to go over, refresh it for the audience, and maybe for some people out there that are not familiar with this format, understanding it. And plus, there's been some changes, as there is all the time. So we're going to get into that with Coach a little bit later. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I think it's like the Steele County Blades, and they've won like three of their last five, but Kings, 12 in a row?
12 in a row for our Kings.
Crazy.
You're going to come for the King. You best not miss. We also have to cover something else, Randy, and I just got to do this quick.
Well, KC was winning. Hank Aaron was beginning. One Robbie going out, one coming.
We have a little bit of baseball to talk. This is going to be our intro where we're going to start talking baseball. We have talking baseball. We're going to be going into the great Terry Cashman.
Talking baseball. Klazuski Campanella talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller.
We're gonna have some fun with this one, Randy. Now, real quick, before we dive into get too far into the show, there is something major that I do need to cover real quick, and I can't believe I apologize, everybody. I meant to start right away with this. That's on me as a host. We have a statement from the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters front office. Statement from the desks of Assistant General Manager Jake Adams and Marketing Manager Colin Filippi, who joined us a couple of weeks ago on Playmakers. In response to the New York Yankees changing their long-standing facial hair policy, we at the Rafters have decided to not change our facial hair policy. We have never had a policy against facial hair. Beards and mustaches are cool. I understand that this could be controversial to some, and by that I mean anybody with Steinbrenner as a last name. Outside of that, I just love this. It's well done by the Rafters. Well done.
That's hilarious.
That was very good.
So now we can play for the Yankees.
Yes, now we have that.
That barrier has been removed.
And I do want to remind everybody that follow the Rafters on social media, not only for great posts like that, but if you are paying attention, just a couple of hours ago, they posted on their 3-1-25, get ready for something big this Saturday. So be paying attention to their social media. Be on the lookout over there at Winterfield. And, of course, keep in mind you can get tickets right now. Go on over there to northwoodsleague.com and get your tickets, everybody. And every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball right here where it belongs all season long. Cannot wait.
Rafters, River Kings, are we blessed or what?
Yeah. And I wanted to actually stay in baseball just for a moment, Randy, on two quick topics with you. One, Seth brought up something this morning in our pregame when we were talking that I had not thought about in a while, but the idea of a women's professional baseball league.
Hmm.
And for those that are not familiar, this is something that is in the works. In fact, they're looking at 2026 as a premiere for the WPBL. It'll be launching 6 franchises in the summer of 2026. And team owner selection is underway right now. There's no word on that confirmation yet. But this is all ready to go. This is. I don't know how much partnership this is going to be with MLB. I'm hoping for some, if a lot. I don't know. Right now, it's almost silly to think that the WNBA could not exist. But if the NBA hadn't taken it over and been like, and Adam Silver in them, and they take a lot of shots, especially for me over the last couple of weekends. But one of the smartest things they've ever done in all of sports, not just basketball, in all of sports, was being like, we're going to take over the WNBA. We're going to finish in the red sometimes. We're not going to make a profit always, but we're going to invest in this. We're going to invest in women's sports and in the game of basketball and growing that and see what happens. And look at where they are now. This is the equivalent of buying Apple stock in 1979. This is, what they're sitting on right now with the WNBA and Caitlin Clark and all that. Caitlin Clark is the face of baseball, basketball. She's the face of baseball. Might be the face of baseball when it's all said, but she's the face of basketball. Like, there's nobody. LeBron James is big. I get that. LeBron James is already established. I'm talking about just basketball players and their fame, not somebody with a shoe deal or anything like that. There's nobody bigger than Caitlin Clark. Nobody is even close. So what they did with that is just a smart investment. I hope baseball does a similar thing. Because honestly, as much as I love basketball, and I love it, I grew up watching women's basketball with my Aunt Karen all the time. I got to say, I would get really into women's baseball. I think that'd be pretty darn cool. And my only problem is, where was this when Jenny Finch was on? Because I loved watching Jenny Finch pitch. And I'd like to see her in a professional. I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome with Arizona.
Would you watch? Would you be interested in that? Take this away from it, everybody, because I don't want somebody to think that if they weren't interested, that means that they don't like women's sports.
Right.
Part of what we're talking about here is equality. I don't watch. I haven't watched half of these side football leagues. It has nothing to do with anything other than it's just kind of like I'm busy. I don't have a lot of time, and I don't know a lot of the players. It has nothing to do with that not being a lesser league or any of these things. Look at it this way, from this prism: would you watch more baseball?
You know, what's interesting is, as you were bringing this up, I was thinking to myself, it's really amazing watching girls softball. You know, they're 60 feet away from first base and home plate, and the way they can field and the way they can pitch and the way they can hit, same thing. You know, time constraints, don't watch a lot of it, but when I do, I'm always impressed. So I'm just thinking, how's that going to carry over into baseball? That'll be very interesting. And I think that would be one of those things like you. You know, if time permits, I would view it, see what I think, and maybe give it a second chance, because you never know the first game you watch how that might play out. But yeah, good for them. Give them a chance and see what happens.
I think it's such a smart idea. I bring this up all the time. I was just talking about it earlier, and it's one of the better examples, which is why I lean on it. Ben and Jerry's was the biggest ice cream in the world, and they decided, you know what? There's a whole section of the market that we're not hitting that is lactose intolerant or that is a vegan or something. We're going to make ice cream for them too. And they got even bigger. Like, it's the equivalent of that. The NFL has seen this, and they tried early on, hey, we don't have enough female women watching. How are we going to get moms to let their sons play football if they're not even watching the game? So at first, they started the pink rhinestone jerseys and everything, and that was very out of touch. And I think they saw the error of their ways in that one. And certainly jumping on causes, which is something that the NFL does just as well as anybody. You know, breast cancer awareness and having pink during October and having grown men, warriors, wearing pink and kind of changing the narrative on some of that. All these things. There's a difference to me of pandering and being smart at business. You know, there's a big difference there. Pink jerseys, pandering. Playing the game smart, worrying about people's health and everything and trying to focus more on these things. That's not pandering. That's just smart business.
Right.
And it's an investment in the future of your game, because you're not going to have people wanting to play this game in 20 years. Moms ain't letting their kids play football if they don't think it's safer. It's not, no parent's going to think it's safe.
Right.
I learned this from my grandmother, from my Nana. My Nana, my dad played every sport under the sun except football, because my Nana thought it was too violent. Meanwhile, he's boxing and playing hockey. But that back then, that's how they looked at it. So as long as they can do something like that with this league, and MLB has something to do with it, or the owners that are in charge, that they go into this understanding, you know, this first couple of years, we might be in the red. We might not finish in the black. As long as you can do that, I think this has a real chance to succeed.
I also like the idea that you said there's going to be six teams.
Yeah.
You know, start small.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't go full blown and then find out, you know, now everybody is just collapsed. That would not be good either.
You really got to hit every major market. Mm-hmm. You really, and I don't mean the big cities. I mean north, south, east, west. You've got to have teams in all these locations. One of the things that's killing this side XFL, USFL hybrid thing that they're doing right now is not having any Midwest representation. Like, they have nothing out in the Midwest. So one of the most consistent fan bases in all of sports, let alone in football, going to high school on up, the only people that rival us are the South. Mm. There's nothing out East. Philly may have just won. Watch Philly when they're losing. Okay, watch 76ers fans right now. Okay, there's a big difference, a huge drop off in that fan base when it comes to that. Miami takes a lot of heat for something that Philly and the East Coast fans do all the time. Like, people shred Miami and Florida fans for leaving early or coming late or something. New Yorkers have been doing this since they built the Madison Square Garden. Like, what are you talking about? They're just as bad. But Midwesterners, and I am biased on this, I wholeheartedly own that, are diehard with their team. To a fault, almost, some ways, in the regards to ownership not really doing much because they don't have to, because they know they're going to fill the fan base, they're going to fill the stadium up.
Right.
I hope this has a chance to succeed. The other thing I wanted to ask you real quick, and we can move on from baseball, if unless our audience wants to, please feel free to call up 715-424-2600, is the announcement, and Seth and I touched on this Friday, Joe Buck will call the Milwaukee Brewers season opener in 2025 against the New York Yankees. This, of course, is something that he sought out to do, from what I understand, because at first I thought this was, well, ESPN's paying him a lot of money. They're going to get their money's worth. Like, you ain't working just football season, man. Like, we've had a lot of cuts lately. We got to get you out there. If I was Fox, I'd be doing that to Tom Brady. I'd have Tom Brady hosting the weather. I'd have him out there doing everything. I'd have him running and getting coffee for people, the amount of money I'm paying that guy. With Joe Buck doing this, there's also the ties of his father and Euchre, and a lot of the respect that he had for Bob Euchre, and Joe Buck, I'm saying, and wanting to kind of honor him. I don't know if this is the most likable thing he's ever done or may ever do. He can't win for losing, for one. But I do think it's really smart. The next announcer team for the Milwaukee Brewers has bigger shoes to fill than outside of Vin Scully. Mm. Outside of that, you know, and I'm not taking anything from any of the great broadcasters of the past or anything like that, but let's be real about it. There's just nobody that size, that magnitude, as Bob Euchre was, in the crossover hit that he was with not just baseball fans, but everybody knew who Bob Euchre was pretty much. Right. Even if you never watched a baseball game in your life, you understood who this guy was. To walk into that, to be the guy following the guy, I mean, that's tough. That's, so I like the idea of them kind of easing into this almost, and it's going to be a gut punch. It's going to be. We understand that, I think.
And I think what helped was a little bit that his health was starting to decline over the last couple of years, and he wasn't doing as many games. He wasn't going on the road, and so people did get a little bit more used to not hearing him every day in every game. So I think that's going to be a big help, and they don't have I don't think they have to try to bring in some big name. I mean, that's a great idea to have that tie. That's a great way to start off
the
season.
Yeah, it's just the first game, yeah. And so it just kind of ease into it helps jump into it a little bit,
kind of
a
great way to honor, you know, Luke,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it, sure. It certainly is a noteworthy guy having it doing that and all that, but I don't know about others, but this happens every once in a while, and this may seem really silly to the audience, but if you can go back to the late 90s, early aughts and all that, and understanding that social media, not everybody knew everything and all these things, I understood that Walter Payton was well-loved, and I understood that he was a very famous athlete. But his passing happened very shortly after his retirement. And when NFL players retire, they tend to fade away. We heard about Walter a little bit with racing. He got into that. And so there was a little bit of that noise. But otherwise, Walter Payton wasn't out doing every 20 commercials or any of these things. He was kind of stuck in the NASCAR. I think it was a stock car race. It's a different type of racing he was doing. And I'm sorry, I don't know enough about race. F1 maybe it was, I think. He was into racing. He was doing that. That's the last we heard of him until he got sick. And then he came out, and his passing felt almost just as fast, mm-hmm, as that happening. The weekend of that Bear-Packer game, it is the one game that I'll remember more than any Super Bowl, anything I've ever seen, just because I didn't understand how loved he was. we as Chicagoans kind of like, you know, wrap our arms around him and hold him close and like he's ours and all this, where the NFL and the football fan base was saying, yeah, you might have first dibs, but we want ours too. We love that guy also. See somebody of that magnitude. That's what we're talking about with Bob Uecker. That's what we're talking about with this guy, where we get it here. But to see that ESPN and Joe Buck and all these other people are also noting it, it's like, oh, it's not just us. Everybody gets it. You know, whether you realize that or not, if you were on the fence on it, it is clear as day now how well loved and respected that man was. And I think that's so cool in considering. I also, one real quick thing, because me, right at the top of the line, have been taking some shots at Mr. Astacio lately and everything. But I will give him credit for talking about the Uecker story and the idea that we almost didn't get the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, like if he wanted to, all he knew was working for the C-Leagues. And that's the route he just took. And he's like, you know what? New ownership, good time for me to move on. I'm going to go do my next chapter. I don't think he's going to be an announcer anywhere else or anything, but I bet you he's in TV. I bet you Uecker's going right to TV, and whether he is working at ESPN or if he is maybe doing a sitcom again, I'd have loved to see. I liked him as an actor. He had great comedic timing.
I was thinking about that too when you're talking about how he's known nationally. I wonder how many people watched Mr. Belvedere and had no idea he played Major League Baseball. He didn't really play him.
Yes. Nice. Oh, he's laughing at that one. He's laughing at that. Yeah. Randy, you have some great local coverage for us. I wanted to dive right into that. We've got it was a big weekend of news with a couple of brackets coming out and a lot of information there.
Yeah, let's start off with girls high school basketball. The regular season ended last week as Rapids is now on a three-game winning streak. They picked up a 71-64 over Eau Claire North, as well as a 51-33 victory over DC Everest, both on the road. Top-seeded and top-ranked Assumption was at fourth-ranked in Division 4, Aquinas, and they came away with a three-point win on Tuesday. That was a big win for the Royals. Then on Thursday, both Sarah Shaw and Jordan Jaglinski each scored their 1,000th point in a 68-47 stopping of Stratford. Anna Schooley also scored 1,000 points earlier in the year against Stratford. Now, we mentioned it on the air. We thought, I wonder if that's ever happened in the history, that three players scored their 1,000th point against the same team.
Yeah, that's wild.
Isn't that wild?
I don't know how you sell that as a coaching staff either.
Yikes. Port Edwards lost at home to Bowler 51-48, and Nacoosa also fell at home to the Dells 68-22. So the tournament begins this week for the girls, as tomorrow night Port Edwards is at second-seeded and sixth-ranked Pacelli, while Nacoosa goes to sixth-seeded Whitehall. Lincoln and Assumption are off until Friday, when Rapids travels to third-seed and ninth-ranked Hortonville, while number one seed and top-ranked Assumption hosts either number eight Loyal or number nine Northland Lutheran. Last week was the second to last week of the regular season for the boys, and the tournament pairings were unreleased yesterday. Wisconsin Rapids lost a couple of home contests last week and will host Toma in a game you can hear tonight on our sister station WIRI. A week from tomorrow night, they'll host 17th seed Appleton West in a regional semifinal. It's a game we might just bring to you next week Tuesday. The Assumption Royals upset Marathon 44-42. What a crazy finish to that game on Friday night. They had the ball with 0.4 of a second left underneath their own basket. Throw it up. Trey France goes up and tips it in at the buzzer for the W. You know, they're 7-0 in conference at home, and we're talking Auburndale. We're talking, they have Stratford yet coming up. That's coming on Thursday, a game we'll also have on WIRI.
Looking at that schedule, when this season started, I'm like, I hope they can go 2-1, 2 something like that. Just run it.
They're going to host Newman tonight, as a matter of fact. And a week from tomorrow, they will entertain 10th-seeded New Lisbon. Port Edwards secured three home Ws last week. You ready for this? Brendan Beck averaged over 30 points a game.
Woo.
Yeah, one of the games he had a 40-pointer against New Lisbon.
Kid on the Bucks.
No kidding, man. Tonight, the Blackhawks are at Wauwega Fremont. Next Tuesday, they're at home against 11th-seeded Gilmanton Independence. And Nacoosa split a pair, losing by four at Almond Bancroft and winning at Wautoma. Papermaker Sherman Trail also begins at home next Tuesday, taking on 9th-seeded Montello. So crazy as it seems, all four of these area teams have a home playoff game next week.
How great is that?
That's something.
Congrats to all of them. That's awesome.
In team wrestling, the sectionals took place on Tuesday. From Division One over in Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids knocked out Nina 59-23 in the semis. And then it was number two in state against number one in state in the sectionals. Really? Come on.
Yeah,
and they fell to Kaukauna, 49-18, the number one team in state. Division three at Clear Lake, Stratford toppled Turtle Lake, 64-15, and got by Glenwood City, 41-29, and the Tigers are headed to state. The individual sectionals were held on Saturday, and eight area wrestlers are headed down to the tournament. For Wisconsin Rapids, Jackson Freeman at 106, Landon Freeman at 120. At 126, it's Aspen Tritz. Carter Freeman is in at 138. At 190, it's Kyler Tritz, and at heavyweight, Tanner Gormanson. Two area off to state for the Nakusa Assumption Port Edwards co-op squad. In the girls division, Amaya Leverance at 114, and for the boys at 132, it's Sawyer Ostrom. And a great big thanks to Michael Comer for updating us on all of the wrestling action that took place this weekend. And finally, the tournament trail also began last week in boys hockey. From Division One, back on Tuesday, Wisconsin Rapids lost at Everest 5-0. Here's another one. Are you ready? On Thursday, the Spash Panthers, undefeated, 24-0, number one team in the state, was upset by eighth-seeded Chi High, 4-1.
Nice.
Earlier in the year they met, Chi High was defeated by Spash, 8-0.
Wow.
This was like Miracle on Ice number two.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Nicely done by both. Wow. That's awesome.
So they were up 2-1 and got a couple of empty netters.
And we got to hear Chi High. We got to hear. I love it. Don't you love that?
Yeah. Wausau West is the only other area team still alive in Division One, as the second-seeded Warriors survived a scare from seventh-seeded Superior. They won 4-3 in overtime. And in Division Two, only number two Mosinee is still playing, as they leveled number seven Medford, Abbotsford, at Rib Lake, 9-1. So that's all that's been going on lately.
Incredible coverage, as always. Randy, thank you for that. Yeah, nice work, man. Take a breather for a second. Before we get going to break, and we'll have to say goodbye to Randy for a little while because he's got work to do tonight yet. I did want to get just real quickly from you. Was there any highlights from you with the boys' brackets release? Was there any surprises for you in any of that? It is great to see everybody getting those home games. You know, regardless of nothing's guaranteed in the playoffs, even having that is kind of nice to know going into it.
Yesterday, the bracket release was announced at 10 o'clock in the morning, ran from 10 to 11, and I was not available to watch that at all. And so then Michael Comer sends me this, you know, email saying all four area teams have a goal, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
That just doesn't even seem plausible, right?
Yeah.
But then when you look at the matchups, you're like, yeah, that does make sense. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to look at what we're going to bring, and I think Michael and I will talk about it tonight off the air as far as what game we want to bring. But that's a real possibility, because that should be an interesting matchup, that first round game between Rapids when they take on Appleton West, because I believe right as of now, both teams, I think, are like 2-19. Mm-hmm. So when you've got two teams that have the almost identical records, that's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about which game we'd like to bring next Tuesday. And then, of course, the end of that week, we go to, for the girls, if they can continue to advance, then the possibility of, you know, looking at the area teams, Rapids could be going forward, Assumption could be going forward. So we'll have to take a look at that as well, and because that'll be heading to sectionals already next week, with state the week to follow.
Certainly going to be following both sides as best as we can, but I got a good feeling that you're going to be busy and late into the season with covering the women's side.
Yeah, I got a feeling that things won't wrap up till about March 15th.
Yeah, rest that, you know, keep that voice fresh and everything throughout that, and we're looking forward to it. And I do want to, as a side note, mention to any businesses out there, we are still taking all calls here. You want to join the team for our playoff push here or anything like that, we encourage you to be a sponsor of local high school sports. It's one of the greater marketing things you're going to make, one of the greater marketing decisions you will have. I can prove this. Isn't just me throwing this out here. That the stats back them up themselves. You'll make your money back. That's marketing 101 here. And attaching yourself to local high school sports, you can't lose.
No.
Because you are supporting these kids and supporting these schools, and that is never, you can never lose in that regard.
And it's not just, you know, the immediate family, but you're talking grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins, and everybody gets so excited, not just for high school sports during the regular season, but especially during playoff time, and that's where we are.
Yeah. Looking at our schedule again real quick, Randy, the reason he's got to leave is because he's got to go cover Lincoln High School boys basketball hosting Toma. Game starting about tip-off at 7:05, so you got a little bit of time here, Randy.
You
ease yourself
up,
over there.
Talk to a couple coaches, yeah.
I hope that goes well. We're looking forward to hearing you tonight. Wisconsin men's basketball tomorrow hosting Washington at 7. The boys they're looking to get back in the win column here after that Oregon game.
That was so disappointing.
I really wanted to talk to you about that, but maybe next time when you come back or whatever, there's already been 3 or 4 games. But I will say real quick, that might have been the best thing to happen to them.
Yeah, it could be. Sometimes you need those losses.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. Before we go to break, real quickly, the news broke about a couple hours before we got able to get on the air here, that an unidentified team has proposed to the NFL that they have submitted a proposal to ban the tush push or the brotherly shove or whatever you want to say. That was, and I just want to make sure to get the timestamps here, because that was at about 4 o'clock today. But then it just came out a little bit, not even an hour ago, that it was the Green Bay Packers that came forward with this. And they are the only team that has so far, but they have proposed to the NFL to get rid of this play. I don't know how you're going to prove that a team is doing the tush push necessarily outside of the obvious, but I feel like there's ways around that. But I will say, regardless of how you feel about this, this is not going away. Like, I don't think this story is going to go away. And the fact that it's the Green Bay Packers coming forward with it, I'm not trying to be mean here or anything, but if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars coming forward with this, it's not nearly as big of a story, and it may go away. That it's one of your marquee franchises, one of your oldest franchises doing this, that means something. Well, it just carries a little more weight to it.
For every old-time Packer fan who remembers the Ice Bowl and watching Bart Starr sneak in and Chuck Mersin diving over the top showing touchdown, he wasn't showing touchdown. He was showing that he was not pushing Bart Starr into the end zone, because that would have been a penalty and the touchdown would have been called back, and we would have never had an Ice Bowl highlight ever.
Yeah. It's
so it was, there was a time when you could not push an assist.
Right. Yeah. I think that's where, because I'm even seeing in the NFL.com article here, well, it actually is a throwback play. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
No,
and I don't understand why it's ever been legal.
Yeah.
You're literally pushing a guy. Like, you can't do that.
And sometimes you even see him pulling guys into end zones.
Didn't we want to take away a touchdown from USC for this with Reggie Bush pushing Matt Leinart or whatever, or maybe I have it reversed, but I know it was that game, in the Notre Dame game, I believe, and people were raving about it for weeks. Look, the fact that they got away with it for a while was one thing. The fact that they won a Super Bowl with it is that seems a little to me. So I think that this is actually. And maybe I don't like to throw around the word brave, but when you're talking NFL owners and billionaire on billionaire crime, you don't see that a lot. So I do think it's actually kind of noteworthy, and I think it's especially noteworthy considering the franchise is saying it. Randy, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Great man. To be here. Talk to you guys on the other side.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, everybody. Right here on Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope y'all are having a great Monday night out there. Thanks so much for joining me. James here with you. Solo for right now. We are hoping to be joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul, going to join us in just a little bit, hopefully. If he's not able to, that is completely understandable. Day job comes first. And I'm not alone. I got all of you out there. 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. We're wide open. Love to hear from you. Big thank you to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring this hour. Great big thank you to them. We are here because of them. We appreciate every one of them. We will talk a little River Kings, whether it's with coach or not, in just a little bit. Before we get down that rabbit hole, did want to mention that the Milwaukee Brewers fell to the Seattle Mariners in preseason play, in spring play. And it is noted as well that the Brewers have signed veteran Mark Kahan. They have signed him to a minor league deal with spring training invite. So we'll see what happens with that. A couple of players like that on the fringe, see if they're able to make a team. As Randy and I were going to break, we were talking about the tush push and the idea of that being banned in the NFL. And an unidentified team, now we know, is the Green Bay Packers, have come forward and asked for a proposal to the NFL to nix this rule. And I'd love to hear from all of you out there how you feel about this. On the same note, also would like to hear from you about our earlier story today. If you'd be interested in a women's professional baseball league, and how you feel about that? Because for me personally, just showing my bias, I'm excited about the idea. I think it's kind of cool, and would love to know what you guys are thinking of that one. For right now, let's go ahead and keep things moving. And I did want to touch on men's basketball real quick. Before we get into some hockey news, we will be joined by Coach. He'll be here any moment. Looking forward to hanging out with him. But over the weekend, of course, we had Badger basketball on your radio. And the Badgers boys men's team fell to the boys team. Men's team fell to the Oregon over the weekend. Wisconsin's largest blown lead to date on the season. First blown lead of 15-plus points since early February. They had a 19-point jump over Nebraska, I believe. And this game, this next game up, Wisconsin, first up, Wisconsin 21-6 on the season, previously ranked 11th. It looks like they're still going to stay right around there. They're not going to go too high or too low. Got a game against Washington coming up. We'll have that for you right here at 7 o'clock tomorrow at WFHR. Get right game, possibly, but certainly nothing you can take lightly and not an opponent that you've played a whole lot. I mentioned to Randy real quick as we were leaving, I think this could be the best thing to happen to them going into, you know, Big Ten Conference championship play and, of course, the dance, the big dance, where their aspirations are to win it all, of course. This could be a good thing for them. This is something that has plagued Wisconsin in years past, not so much this season. But those ghosts, when they come back, you want to get them early. And if you can, get them in a regular season game. If you're going to have it happen, that's when you want it. So it could be a wake-up call for that team and hopefully, you know, a learning process for them, something that they can obviously learn from and grow from. Make no mistake about it, though. This is a team that definitely could make a run in the big dance and I think is an Elite Eight team at the least. Certainly got to depend and see how these things shake out. You know, I'm not going to say that for certain they are this or they're that. They could end up in the worst bracket in the whole thing and, you know, be knocked out in two rounds. We'll see. But right now, they're one of those teams that I think is a really exciting and fun to look at. Watch. I will also say the St. John's Red Storm is a team that I cannot help my affinity for old school Big East basketball and the teams of the Big East of my youth. And I still pay attention to them, whether they're good or not. I'm still a diehard Georgetown Hoyas fan. And couldn't tell you necessarily why, other than I just grew up loving that team and loving John Thompson and all the players that they had. But St. John's Red Storm, they got Rick Pitino. And that's noteworthy. They got a really nice team over there. And it's the first time since 99 that the Storm have been on a run like this. That's pretty darn cool. You got a lot of your normal teams in there. But the SEC is here to stay. They have taken the ACC and the Big East's money and their players. And now they are not going anywhere. And Auburn sitting at number one, they are not going anywhere, it's looking like. Just two losses on the season and a complete team in Auburn. It's a lot of fun men's basketball to be played with conference play coming up and everything as we're wrapping up the regular season. I mentioned that we will have that Wisconsin game, Wisconsin hosting Washington tomorrow, 7 o'clock right here. The rest of their schedule is you got some good ones here, and it's all Big Ten. On Sunday, March 2nd, 12:30, a game that, again, we will have for you right here at WFHR. Number 11, Wisconsin, taking number 8, Michigan State, in Spartanville. That's going to be a good one. 12:30, Sunday, good way to go into the game, or a good way to go into Sunday afternoon. That's going to be an interesting one right there. I imagine that you guys are going to want to hear that one. Then you got Minnesota. Next Wednesday, and wrap up the regular season with Penn State coming to the Kohl Center Saturday, March 8th, noon, start time for that one. All these games we should have for you right here at WFHR, of course. But I'm very excited about the Michigan State-Wisconsin game, I'll be honest. I don't want to look past Washington. You want to win that game. You want to wrap up the regular season strong. You want to keep that momentum going. But I will say that that Michigan State-Wisconsin game, that is, that should be a really good one. And a perfect opportunity for Wisconsin and those players to really test themselves against a great coach and a great team. Should be good. How are you feeling about the season so far? Especially at, coming out of a loss. Very curious to know how you all are feeling about there at that. 424-2600, feel free to call up and join the conversation. As we're getting ready to talk some hockey and talk some River Kings, going back to a story that came up last Friday when we were talking a little bit about the NHL and the four nations facing off, and how did the ratings do from that one? Now, the Four Nations final between the U.S. and Canada drew record ratings for ESPN. Huge, huge ratings. The game in which Canada, of course, won the game, you know, whatever, garnered 9.3 million viewers, with 10.4 million viewers at its peak. It was also the largest audience for a non-NFL event on ESPN+. And while that may not mean a lot to some people out there, I guarantee you that marketers and businesses out there saw that, and it's all about the streaming numbers nowadays, to every degree, in every medium. Now, you could do well ratings-wise here or there on your old-school platforms, whether we're talking radio or TV, what have you, but everybody's paying, and by everybody, I mean advertising executives and marketing executives and that, are looking at how you're doing on streaming. And gigantic numbers for ESPN streaming-wise. And part of the reason why they are... I love baseball, and baseball is very big around the world, obviously. You've got winter leagues in all the Latin countries, in Asia, and all over the place. But the size of hockey around the world, just even in North America, even if you just want to look at North America, and I'm not excluding Mexico to this one, by the way. Got a lot of Mexico, a big hockey fan base there. So even adding that on top of it with the obviousness of Canada and the U.S., gigantic opportunity for ESPN with hockey. Them taking it over, repurposing it almost for, and I'm not saying they did anything, I'm not talking about the rules or the actual game. I mean, in the selling of the game and the way that you literally cover the game and show the game on TV. What ESPN's done with that is similar to what they did with baseball a little while back. So it's only getting bigger. These are not numbers that are inflated. While you could make an argument a little bit with some of the political stuff and blah, 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 and all that going on, that maybe, but I feel like a lot of people that are saying that also have not grown up with hockey for 40 some years like I have. So I'm saying this with a little bias, but also a little bit of knowledge to it. Hockey's not going anywhere, and they're taking everybody's lunch money while they're at it. There is no battle between, you know, one sport and another or anything, but everybody is battling for sports bandwidth. What is your sports bandwidth? How much can you take in? When we've got the NFL playoffs going on, NBA season, NHL season, baseball of hot stove news, and we're not even talking about the college sport, the collegiate level, or the high school level of sports, how much of your bandwidth can you take? How much can you bring in? That's what they're fighting for. And hockey is winning a lot of that battle right now when football's not on the radio, of course, or when football's not in play, of course. What hockey's been able to do, where hockey's going, certainly in big part because of the partnership with ESPN and the deal that they've made there. But it's also on the backs of these players and these announcers and the people that cover the game, the coaches, everybody else. There's a big argument right now about how the NBA should be doing what the NHL does and a lot of that. What I don't think what I think needs to be understood is just because they're both playing a sport doesn't mean that they're training or treating the sport the same or looking at the sport the same. I think it's the definition of apples and oranges. It really is. We are joined right now by GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, with us right now. Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks a lot for being here with us. Appreciate you being able to make the time. We're going to get into the playoff talk with you a little bit, talking the format, talking a little bit of what to expect for the USPHL. But before we do that, do want to rewind real quickly to the weekend. Nice way to wrap up the regular season for the boys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm proud of him. I thought we played very well. I thought we did exactly what we wanted to do and attack some of the areas that we've been focusing on. And I think overall, I was very pleased.
There were some things the previous weekend that you weren't as happy about. You feel like you corrected some of that this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it helps. I mean, the Dells had something to play for, right? So they were jousting for positions and the home ice advantage. So we knew that they were going to come at us and throw everything that they had. And I thought we weathered the storm pretty well and then got down to business and played the right way.
It feels difficult to do because it's just natural human instinct to look ahead. We all do it, and not just in sports and just in life in general. Heck, we're driving and we're doing it, let alone in sports or let alone with things we're excited about. Going back to being a kid waiting for Christmas Day or any of these things. Right. But as a coach and you and coaching staff, keeping them locked in on the ending this regular season strong while also keeping that momentum going to get into the playoffs, knowing that you're expecting to make a deep playoff run. Right. That momentum, how you keep that going, is there a trick to that? Do you bring a psychiatrist in or a mesmerizer in or something? Like, what do you do with that?
It's a lot of psychology.
I
sure,
imagine,
but
yeah.
It's just picking out something at the beginning of the week and focusing on that and using that as your goal, right? Obviously, rolling into the playoffs with a 12-game unbeaten streak, you know, so 10 games going into that weekend, well, we're not going to give up on, right? We're going to make sure that we finish what we started. And then it's just the little things like that on how many shots on goal, how many shots we give up, right? And we're not letting anybody score. So it's really just setting the challenges, right? I challenge these guys on a weekly basis, and they're stepping up big time. And I'm so proud of these guys. I mean, this is by far, not by far, but personally, the best team, best record that I've personally had in my 16 years of doing this. So to be able to finish on a 12-game run, heading into the playoffs where, look, I mean, you talk about not looking that far ahead. I think we have a very good shot of doing what we set out to do September 1st.
Something about growing up and seeing my dad at the end of a loss taking the tape off. And not wanting to take his skates off in the locker room as a kid and stuff. I don't. It's hard for me to look at this sport. It may be this sport more than any other, and say whatever happens going forward, this wasn't what we wanted in the season, et cetera, anything like that. I cannot add to what you're saying and piggyback off it enough. And what an amazing season this has been for you and this team and these players. There is nothing that can take that away. No matter what happens going forward. Yeah, we want to go to Natty's. Yeah, we want to win it all. Absolutely. And this is a team that is not going to settle for less than that. But you can chew gum and walk at the same time. You can look at that regular season and be like, dang, that is something to be proud of. That is something to be impressed with. While also, you know, hope having those expectations and everything. Given that, looking at the end of the regular season, Kings finish 2 points behind at the number one spot, right behind the Squatch. So more on that later. Being in the second spot here in the playoffs going in still is a great spot to be in. This, for the North Division, playoffs are a little bit different. No real buys or anything like that when it comes to this. You're just going straight back into it. Yeah. Let's talk about how the North Division playoff format is.
Well, it's just, you know, one plays eight, you know, 2, 7, 3, 6, and 4, 5. So we're fortunate to be in the top two, you know, top two spots where we're going to get home ice in the first round. And if we win, we'll get in the second round. And if we make it down to the third round, we'll probably have to face the Squatch, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll be getting on a bus and going to Minnesota. So, 2 out of 3, not bad. I mean, obviously, last year we only had to do 2, right? And then we went to national. So, they cut the teams in half, so only one team per division is going to nationals.
Yeah.
So, you got to go through the gauntlet here. And that's what we've been practicing for. That's all we've been focused on is, listen, this is for real now, right? There's no gimmies, and, you know, you got to show up. And that's the way we've been prepared. And these guys know it, and I am so happy for them to see their efforts mm-hmm. and reap the rewards of their efforts. And they all know it. And that's, again, we talk about it a lot. What was the goal in September? Well, the goal was to get to Nationals. So it's not done. It's business as usual. Yes, we're going to focus on who we're playing now a little bit more, doing more video, right? Doing your homework, and just really focusing on practices against situations against this team, right? So mm-hmm. that's really what it boils down to. It's not about conditioning at this point. It's not about any of that. It's more about the mental part of the game and game situational stuff. And just staying healthy and staying fresh.
It's a best of three series. Yeah. Keep that in mind, everybody. And we've got Steele County that's going to be coming to Rapids here. Right. We'll be taking them on again, a familiar foe. We've known them pretty well this season. Mm-hmm. Like how we've matched up against them this season. And at the same time, it's a completely different animal, the playoffs. Yeah. So it's certainly nobody is being taken in lightly here or anything like that. But you definitely like your odds and chances. And you have to look ahead a little bit in some of these things. And Minnesota doesn't, for having a number one seed, I don't know that anybody has a clear path here or anything. When you're talking about one of the toughest things to do in sports, in any sport, and beating a team multiple times in a season after you face them so much, I don't care if it's regular season, playoffs, or whatever, that's never easy in any level of sports. Okay. So nobody is guaranteed moving on here or anything, which makes it all the more reason why we have to fill the Southwood County Rec Center. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. We don't just have hockey, everybody. We got playoff hockey. And my God, is that a different animal. If you don't believe me, head on down there. Yeah. Please head on down there. You will have evidence A going on this weekend, right? We kick right, we go right into it.
Right. Yeah, there's no time off.
No.
It's, you got 1 week to prepare, and then we get right back into it. So, very appreciative of all the fans that came out this weekend. It was a great environment. And I want everybody to know that the boys know it. They feel it. They see it. And it just gives you that extra juice, right? And it's a great environment to play here, no question about it.
I think one of the more relatable things for anybody out there, at some point in your life, whether it was in sports or maybe it was intramurals or something that you were doing in band or something like that, you had a parent, you had a loved one, or somebody you knew in the stands when you were a kid in school. That doesn't change. That doesn't go away. Like, there's still athletes to this day that are in their 30s and 40s that are still getting a jolt. Vince Carter, I heard talking about this when he had his mom or somebody in the crowd for his retirement and how he felt like he did when he was in school. Right. Like, that feeling is still the same. So sure. Be able to give that to these players, especially considering how much they've given to us and come to our town and brought their skill, brought their lives, their talents, their journey to our town. One of the best ways we can say thank you is cheering them on, filling that Southwood County Rec Center, and following your boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river and have a great playoff run. Thank you so much for the time, Coach. Appreciate you. We'll send you all to RiverKingsHockey.com, RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. We will catch up next week. As busy as you are going to be, I don't want to be one more thing on your plate, but I do want to talk to you as much as we can as we're going through these playoffs here. So we'll talk soon.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for the time, bud. And we'll be back to wrap up Playmakers here on a Monday edition of the show right on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods, Quality Plus Printing. Wrapping up the fourth period with Coach and GM, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us there. That was a lot of fun. Always good talking with Coach. Find out more and follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at RiverKingsHockey.com. As we get ready for the playoffs here, I cannot help myself. This underlying phrase in my head, you're going to come for the king, you best not miss. Keep that in mind, Steele County. Keep that in mind. I did have a couple of other interesting notes I wanted to get to. I will mention that we will be here all week long for you. We got games all week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we are here with Playmakers. We'll be talking to you about local high school sports, local sports in general, covering these teams and any news going on. We are certainly in a basketball and hockey kind of state of mind right now. It usually happens when we leave football. Baseball is right there, just waiting. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to get into when it comes to baseball before the season really gets going here. And one of the things that I thought was very unique was something that came across from MLB.com that actually is an article from Yahoo Sports about some stadiums that receive big changes to their stadiums here and big additions and how that's going to impact the games. The Baltimore had some big ones. Tampa Bay, of course, with the horribleness that happened to their stadium. And then there is the A's. I think they're still calling them the A's, Las Vegas Athletics. God, that doesn't feel good. And they're not even that right now because they're at their temporary home in Sacramento right now. And how are those games going to look? That is going to be weird. They're sharing the Giants AAA affiliate park, Sutter Health Park. Has been mostly neutral, but they are going to be the A's home team this year, which is just heartbreaking for a good friend of mine who is listening out in California right now, and I do feel for you, man. I am sorry to bring it up. Taking aside the Tampa Bay situation and the A's situation, Baltimore have moving in their left field wall to fix an overcorrection after moving it back before the 2022 season. Baltimore is trying to find a happy medium there with their park. Seth and I talked about on Friday's edition the idea of a home run park. And is there any truth to that? Do the stats back it up? And it does seem like they do over, for the most part. While I think you'd be surprised to learn like Cincinnati had the most home runs given up last season. So much of this also goes down to pitching. And, hey, as a team, what are they doing towards the end of the season? Are they fighting? Are they just throwing out their arms to just finish out the season? You know, there's a lot of factors there. But overall, there's quite a bit that you can take from this. And so I'm curious to see how that is. And Camden Yards is still one of the cooler looking parks, ain't it? I mean, I know it's kind of like it's been around for a while now and everything, but that's still got to be one of the cooler parks to see, I think. So, kind of curious to see how that affects the season and really things going forward. There's certainly some talk. We've been doing something here behind the scenes. We're seeing how little football we can talk here on the show since the Super Bowl. And so far, we have spent about a little bit under 10 minutes of show talking about football. Earlier, Randy and I were talking about the brotherly shove and everything, but so far, so good. So, nice job, everybody. Not that we can't talk football. I just wanted to see how long we can go without it. We've done pretty good. Today was the first show where we actually talked a little bit of football, really. We haven't really talked much. It's fun talking with you. Big thank you to Randy, Coach Paul for joining us, and all of you. You guys have yourselves a great night. We'll meet you back here Wednesday for more Playmakers.